And now, Don Blackwell.
In today's lesson, we're going to be discussing a subject that is very commonly discussed in religious circles today, and that is the subject of miracles. Many people in the world today believe in miracles. If you turn on your television set, you'll see people claiming to be performing miracles. And other people say that they can't personally perform miracles, but they have personally witnessed a miracle. And so some people say miracles exist today, and others say they do not. But what we really want to know the answer to is, what does the Bible have to say about the subject of miracles? And so as we begin our discussion, let's begin by defining what exactly a miracle is. This is very important for us because many people today use the term very loosely. The World Book Dictionary defines a miracle this way: it is a wonderful happening that is beyond the known laws of nature. And that's a good definition. That's what a miracle is. It is an event outside of the realm of natural laws caused by divine influence. Now, pay special attention to this part of the definition. It is outside of the realm of natural laws. And the Bible is filled with examples of such miracles. In John chapter 2, we read about water being turned into wine. This doesn't happen naturally. This is something that took place because of divine influence. In Exodus chapter 3, we read about the burning bush, a bush that burned but it was not consumed. Obviously, this is outside of the realm of natural law. Normally, a bush, if it is burned, it is consumed by fire and it ceases to exist. In Exodus chapter 4, we read about the parting of the Red Sea. Certainly not something that normally, naturally occurs. Numbers chapter 22, we read about Balaam's talking donkey. Luke chapter 1, we read about the virgin birth. Acts chapter 2, the apostles speaking in tongues, languages that they had never learned or studied. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira are miraculously struck dead. Acts chapter 20, Eutychus is raised from the dead. So many, many miracles that are recorded for us in the Bible. And all of these are genuine miracles. They fit the definition of a Bible miracle. They're not consistent with natural law. Now, we need to understand this definition because there are some things that are not miracles, but that are commonly referred to by people with the term miracle. For instance, that of a baby being born. Sometimes people talk about the miracle of childbirth. Well, childbirth is not actually a miracle. Now, it's truly amazing, childbirth is, but it's not a miracle. Because, you see, natural law went into effect with Adam and Eve when God created them in the beginning. And since then, children have been born by this same natural process. And so to talk about the miracle of childbirth is not really consistent with the definition of a miracle. Sometimes if a doctor saves someone's life with natural procedure, someone will say, well, it was a miracle. But it's not really a miracle. The doctor used natural methods that God has given us to save that life. Sometimes if a natural disaster occurs and a tornado hits one house and skips the next one and then destroys the third house, someone will say, well, that house that was saved, that was a miracle. But friends, this is something that happened by natural processes, a natural law that causes weather patterns, caused this to happen. And so it's not a miracle by the definition of a miracle. Sometimes people refer to the definition of a miracle and they talk about modern technology and they speak of the miracle of modern technology. Really what they mean is that it is something that's amazing, that it is incredible. And they're using the term miracle to refer to that. But that's not the way we're using the term miracle today. We're talking about something outside of the realm of natural law. Now, the next question we want to consider after discussing the definition of a miracle is, do we believe in miracles? Sometimes it is said that members of the Church of Christ don't believe in miracles. But friends, that is certainly not true. The Bible speaks of many miracles, and we believe in every one of them. In the New Testament times, even after the church was established, there were honest, true miracles that were performed. In Acts 2, we mentioned earlier the speaking in tongues where the apostles spoke in languages that they had never learned. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 42, Tabitha was raised from the dead. Acts 9, 33 through 34, we've got those who were sick instantly being healed in that passage. In Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10, we have the healing of the lame man at the temple gate. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 11, Elymas the sorcerer is struck blind. And Acts chapter 27, verses 10 and 32, there's a prediction of future events miraculously through miraculous knowledge. All of these are miracles. And the Bible teaches every one of these miracles did truly take place. And so we believe in every one of them. So the question is not whether or not miracles have ever existed, but the question is, do miracles still exist today? And the answer to that question is no. Now, please understand, it's certainly not because God doesn't have the power to perform miracles today. Certainly God has the same power today that He had in the Old Testament, that He had in the New Testament. But the Lord tells us in His Word that He is not exercising that power in that way today. He tells us that He is not performing miracles. Now, sometimes people will say, well, then you don't believe in the power of prayer. Friends, that's not the implication at all. That is not to say that God does not answer prayer, because God does answer prayer. Many passages of Scripture teach that. But you see, God does not have to perform a miracle in order to answer prayer. God, through His providence, works through natural laws to answer the prayers of His saints. And friends, to me, this is even a greater testimony to His power. You see, God doesn't have to set aside natural law to accomplish His purposes. When God sees something that needs to be done, it is not necessary for Him to perform a miracle in order to accomplish that. God, because He knows the future, He knows the workings, and has power over everything, can work within the realm of natural law to accomplish His desires. His foreknowledge and His wisdom are such so that He can do these things without altering natural laws that He set in motion. Now, the third point that we want to discuss today, after defining a miracle and pointing out that we do not believe that miracles exist today because the Bible teaches that, the third point we want to discuss is to show from the Bible that miracles have ceased. Now, I want to look at this from several different standpoints to establish that this is the case according to the Word of God. Now, the first thing I want for us to examine is the purpose of miracles. You know, the primary purpose of Bible miracles was not just to heal people. Sometimes people think, well, the Lord miraculously healed individuals, and that's true. He did. He performed miracles to alleviate human suffering and to heal people that had difficult problems. But that was not its primary purpose. You know, the apostles had the ability to heal, but the primary purpose of that power was not just to alleviate human suffering. If it was, then why did Paul leave Trophimus sick in Miletus in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20? Why did Paul not heal Timothy of his stomach disorder in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23? Why did Paul not remove his own physical affliction in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 7 through 9? And friends, the reason is that was not the primary purpose of miracles. What then was the primary purpose of miracles? Ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of miracles in the Bible was to confirm the Word of God, to prove that the message was from the Lord. You may remember in John chapter 3 and verse 2 that a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said to him, "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do." Listen to this. He says, "Except God be with him." You see, he knew and he understood that Jesus was from God because of the confirmation of the miracles that he performed. You may remember also that when the Lord told Moses to go to Pharaoh, he said, "I want you to say to Pharaoh, let my people go, and tell the children of Israel that God is going to deliver them." And Moses asked the question, "What if they don't believe me, Lord? What if they say, the Lord has not appeared unto you?" The Lord then told Moses, he said, "Moses, take the rod that's in your hand and cast it down." And the Bible says, it became a snake. And then he told him to take it by the tail and to pick it up again. And the Bible says it became a rod once more. Now, here is the reason the Lord told Moses to do this. According to Exodus 4 and verse 5, he says that they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers has appeared unto you. Do you see the purpose? The purpose of this miracle was to confirm what Moses was saying had originated with God. Because if the people questioned it, he said this is a message from God. Anyone could put forth a message and claim that it was from God, but he said these miracles will confirm, the miraculous power will confirm the fact that this is indeed a message from God. And so Moses performed this miracle, and of course a series of miracles were performed there with the plagues. And in the New Testament, when the Lord sent His disciples out on the Great Commission to carry the Word into all the world, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 says, "And they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the Word with signs following." Now that's very important. When the Lord sent His disciples on the Great Commission, He said that you will be performing miracles, and the reason for these miracles is to confirm the word, to confirm the message that you are carrying. Now, what does that mean? It tells us something about the purpose of miracles. They were going to be carrying a message, and it was a new message. How were men to know that this message was indeed from God and not something that they were simply making up themselves, something that they had created? The Lord said, here is how they will know. You will have miraculous power that can only come from heaven. And they will know that along with that power, the message is being said to be from God. And so we learn from the very purpose of miracles themselves that miracles don't exist today. Now, why do we say that? Because once the message is confirmed as from being from God, it's not necessary to reconfirm it over and over and over again.